Magic the Gathering is a trading card game, but if you talk to someone who plays Magic, they'll describe it as more of a fight-to-the-death duel. Each Magic player starts the game with 20 life points, and the goal is to reduce your opponent's life points to zero.
And I do that by summoning creatures like dragons and elves and all sorts of cool fantasy creatures. I have mighty artifacts. I have sorceries. I can throw lightning bolts at you.
Mark Rosewater is the head designer for Magic the Gathering. The Seattle-based company Wizards of the Coast owns the game, and Rosewater has worked on it for the last 20 years. He told David Hyde how he's seen social attitudes towards gaming change since he first got into games some 30 years ago.
My dad had a closet full of games. I learned how to play really when I was very young. When I was 13 years old, I got bar mitzvahed, and my first grade teacher, who was a neighbor, came to my bar mitzvah, and her present to me was a box of Dungeons and Dragons. And I'd heard of it, but I'd never actually seen it before, and I loved it. It was just, I was building my own dragons, and I got to look through the monster manual, and I got to sort of choose and craft what I was doing. And my friend, I would build dungeons for him, and he would die left and right because I made crazy hard dungeons that he couldn't possibly get through. But it was fun, and I could explore, and I remember my mom, as a psychologist, actually got called once by someone and said they were concerned about me. They go, "Are you concerned that your son is playing, Dungeons and Dragons?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm happy. It is creative. It is he's sitting down and playing with other people. He's using his imagination. It is something that captures him in a really fun, smart way."
What else were you into as a kid that prepared you to become the chief designer at Magic?
Well, the funny thing is I backed into this job. This is not a job. Like, I wasn't as – I love games. And I always – even in my – I would design games on my own for fun, but it really was a hobby. It wasn't something I ever thought I would make a living at. So my original plan, I actually went to Boston University, studied communications. I was going to be a TV writer. That was my plan. I was going to create TV shows. I had a little bit of success. I was on staff of Roseanne. That's my big claim to fame. Part-time, I took a job in a game store. It's not even for the money. I just was so – I was sitting alone all the time. I needed to see people. So I said, okay, let me pick something that would be fun. I love games. I said it would be cool to work in a game store. So back in the summer of 1993, people kept coming in saying, "Do you sell this game called Magic? Have you heard of Magic?" And I go, I didn't know what it was. And they would describe it to me. And the more I learned about it, the more fascinated I was. I bought some finally, and – I was just so fascinated by the game because I'm a game player from my youth. I mean, I love Magic as a game. It is fascinating as a game. That as someone who loves to design games, that you have so much control when you play. You choose what goes in. And it was so – it just captured me immediately. And so what happened was I was they put out a magazine called The Duelist, which was back in the day when they had magazines. So I actually wrote into the company and said, "I have an idea for a puzzle column, kind of like a chess puzzle where I put you in the middle of the game. It's like, okay, win this turn." It became really, really popular. And then I decided that I wanted to do more for the magazine because I'm a writer and I was bored. And so I flew myself to Gen Con, which is a big gaming convention. I met the editor of the – because she was there. And then I started writing articles. So I started writing articles about Magic. And then because I was like a good writer and I turned my stuff in on deadline, other people started contacting me. And so at some point I was freelancing for like 7 different sections of the company, just writing things because I was very into Magic and I could write well. And then they kept flying me up to Seattle and other places to do work. And one time I was in Seattle, I was talking with the R&D guys, and I said to them, I'd be willing to move to Seattle. And they're like, "Well, when can you start?" That was basically my job. And then a month later, I was here in Seattle.
As card designer?
As a card designer. I started as a card designer.
What is a card designer for people who don't know? What is the job?
So if you look at a card, there is what it does in the game, and there's a pretty picture and a name. There's a lot of flavor that goes, like, what is it? What does it represent? I'm not in charge of the flavor part of it. I'm not in charge of the art or the name or anything, but I'm in charge of what it does in the game. What does it actually do? Like a lightning bolt, you start with 20 points. Well, lightning bolt does 3 damage to the opponent. So now they're at 17 if they were at 20. So I figure out what it does.
So your dad got you into gaming.
Yes.
Do you have kids? Are they into Magic the Gathering?
I have 3 kids.
Yeah.
I have a 15-year-old daughter, and then I have twin boy, girl, 11-year-old twins. For every Friday night, we have game night. So Rosewater family game night every Friday night. My kids are all into games. My son is the one that's attached to Magic. I've taught all my kids how to play Magic. My son Adam is the one that seems like he and I play. We usually play once a week. We'll play, and so he's the one that is definitely bonded with it. My kids all like games. I've definitely imbued with them a love of games.
What's the sociology of playing board games in a world that's been overtaken by video games compared to the world that you and I grew up in?
Well, one of the things that's very, very different now is the relationship that kids have. I'm watching my own kids, that they are very connected to the screen, that the screen is a big part of their life, be it their phone or their iPad or the TV or the computer, you know.
Yeah, in all of our lives, really.
Right, I mean, right. But, I mean, they grow up with it. Yeah. I mean, that's not something we grew up with. And so the idea that they have things that they disconnect from the screen, that they get to bond directly with other people, I think I value that even more. Because in my youth, like, you had no choice but to do that, you know. Of course I played with my friends. What else was I going to do? And now it's very easy. I can watch my kids that, you know, watching YouTube videos or playing video games or just, you know, texting with your friends, that there's such a strong connection to the screen that I really, really love the fact that there are games that exist, that Magic especially, that let people sort of face-to-face interact.
How about the social aspect of it? How has that changed, you know, from Dungeons & Dragons, from when you were a kid, that was the game that you played, to what your kids are experiencing now with games like Dungeons & Dragons or Magic or Exploding Kittens, whatever it is? How's the sociology of being into games? Gaming changed.
Gaming in our youth was thought of as being something a small subset of people did. You know, gaming wasn't, it was like, do you fish? Do you do something? You know, like, it was this thing that, like, some small subset did. Where growing up for me, it's like, I knew that wasn't something I was supposed to just tell anybody. And it's changed. Now, the default is you play games. The big thing to me that's so different from my youth to my kids' youth is my kids would never be ashamed to say they're a gamer. They never would. That never would cross their mind that somehow there's any ounce of shame to say they play games.
That's Mark Rosewater, head designer for Magic: The Gathering. He talked with David Hyde.